Support for The Common comes from Davis Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com. DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
All right, Andre, here we go. You ready?
Ready.
All right.
When you said you ready, you remember that song with Jay-Z and Beyonce, the old three, Bonnie and Clyde? He's like, "You, B, you ready? Let's go get him." That's like what I thought of.
Oh, my right, God. That song was so corny.
All right.
All right, here we go. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Andrea Perdomo Hernandez, what's up?
What up, what up?
WBUR's transportation reporter. You are back. There's always something going on with the team.
Keeping all of us on our toes.
For real. Let's get into it. Andrea, there's a couple of things I want to talk with you about, but I want to get into the story you recently did about how pension costs could make the MBTA insolvent, which basically means broke, with a capital B, by 2038. So, Andrea, tell us what is going on.
So, basically, we got our hands on this document that shows, like, what was going on in between, like, the negotiations between the T and the union when they were trying to reach a new kind of, like, agreement with their pension fund.
Yep.
And the document gives us kind of, like, a window into the finances of the pension fund.
Okay, let's look through that window. What are we seeing?
So, it's interesting because, like, when you look at most pension funds, they're funded at like 70% or like 80% or 90%, mm-hmm. you know? But the T's pension fund, according to this document, shows that they're only at 53% funded. The way pensions work is like employees contribute to it, the employer contributes to it, and then there's like investments that are made like with the contributions that are made, and that kind of helps to grow it. So like the profit from the investments plus the money that's being put into it kind of equals, is like an equation that equals like the funding.
Okay.
So when you put all of that together, you know, normally, like, let's say like in New York City, right? Like their pension fund, like their transit pension fund.
Yep.
That one's funded at 74%, right? And in Washington, D.C., their transit authority is funded at 82%.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and to bring it back, like, to the state, the MBTA police pension fund is funded at 85%. So the T pension fund is only funded at 53%.
How do we get here?
It's been quite a journey because this document shows us that, like, in 2006, the fund was actually funded at, like, 90-something percent.
Uh-huh.
So this decline has happened over, like, let's say, like, the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been multiple things that have contributed to this. Like, a lot of people have been retiring. They haven't been really backfilling roles. So there's not as many people contributing to the fund. Those investments that I mentioned earlier haven't been performing so well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a kind of like a double or like a triple whammy of things that are happening kind of at the same time that the pension has been taking some financial hits.
Mm-hmm.
So the pension fund is actually paying out like $5 to $6 million more a month than it's actually taking in. So somebody has to cover that cost, right?
Right.
So when we say that the team might be insolvent by 2038, just based on like the contributions that they're making to this pension fund, that's kind of what they're talking about. Because like, you can only, you know, withdraw money from your account so much before they shut you down, right?
Yeah. So what will it take for the T to pull itself out of this mess?
Well, I spoke to some people over at the union, and their president, Jim Evers, says he feels pretty confident that, like, as the T hires, you know, the T's aggressively trying to, like, hire and recruit and attain, like, new people, you'll have more people contributing to the fund, and it'll kind of help balance itself out. But I spoke with a Boston University finance professor, his name's Mark Williams, and he says hiring alone isn't going to solve this problem.
You need to reduce the excessive benefits, and or you need to increase the amount that's being paid in by those employees that eventually will benefit.
So basically he's saying you can't just rely on more people contributing to it, right? Like you're going to have to trim some of those benefits. And you're going to have to increase the amount that people are actually contributing. Like right now, I think they're contributing like 9% of their salary into the fund.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that they would have to increase that amount in order to kind of see this 50% be increased, you know, over time.
Tell me, where does this projection fit into the larger financial picture?
Well, it's interesting to look at these projections just solely based on the pension fund and like the depletion or the devastation or the toll that it can take on the T in and of itself, because the T's been negotiating their budget and fare revenues aren't anywhere near where it used to be. You know, it's been tagging off for the last couple of years because of the pandemic. Ridership's only at 61%. So that like revenue stream of like fares is mm-hmm. not covering costs. So the T is like having to like pull from like pandemic relief funds or like other non-reoccurring sources of a revenue. Like they're just tapping into like funds here and there to kind of cover costs.
Yep.
So that also is like putting the T in a precarious financial situation. So that budget gap from like the revenues being low and ridership being low and all that stuff, that could create the fiscal cliff that everyone's been talking about over the last couple of years. And we could see that as soon as like fiscal year 2025. So like in the next year or two. So based on the revenue problems and like the funding problems at the T, just operating costs that they have that they're facing right now, that puts them in quite a bind. And then like when you think about the pension stuff and like the effects that the pension could take on it, it's like they're fighting multiple financial battles on different ends.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on the T.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Seen. Listen and follow Last Seen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Okay, going back to what the professor said, you know, what would help the situation with the pension costs is cutting other things, cutting other benefits and You can't just hire your way out of this, right? What does that do to the T's hiring campaign? Because they still have a worker shortage that's impacting service. So if the way to help cover the costs of the pension fund is to cut benefits, that makes it harder to attract workers, no?
That was the union's argument. While the union and the T were kind of figuring out like the new terms of their agreement, one of the things that the T wanted to do was to raise the retirement age from 55 years old to 65. That was one of the things that they really wanted to do because they were like, oh, that's less time, you know, that people will be pulling from the funds. And that ultimately got off the table because they're like, if you do this, it's going to have a negative impact on the workers that we already have. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, how are you making this job more appealing to future recruits?
Yep.
Like, there is this tension of, like, how do we keep this financially viable, right? And then also, like, how do we make sure that this job is appealing to the people that we're trying to get? So there is kind of, like, that tension. And I haven't seen the final agreement, you know, between the union and the T to really know, like, where they ended up landing on a lot of these things. But there's going to have to be some give on either side. It's not a situation where everybody gets everything that they want.
Andrea, before we go, I want to check in on Philip Ng. He started his position as the T's general manager a few weeks ago. And now that some time has passed, do you have a clear sense of what his priorities might be to get the system back on track, both service-wise and financially?
Well, the times that I've heard Ng speak publicly, he's been very much about, like, tackling multiple priorities at the same time. Like, he's not, like, a one-thing-at-a-time kind of guy. You know, he's been very vocal about, like, hiring. He's been very vocal about transparency. He says he's a solutions-based guy, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not entirely clear, like, what is, like, his number one thing or, like, where he's putting all of his energies first. However, he did attend his first, like, MBTA board meeting, and he gave his first, like, general manager's report. Mm-hmm. And in that report, he talked about slow zones, specifically, like, along the blue line. And he kind of gave a game plan of when people can expect those slow zones to be lifted. And then he did say that he has a team of people working on similar reports for, like, the orange line and the red line. You know, so he's tackling that problem first to try to get the T up and running. That's what we know so far. And for people who are curious, all those blue line riders out there, he says that, like, slow zones are going to be lifted no later than November.
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 Damn.
But the reason why they're targeting the blue line first is because, like, the Sumner Tunnel is going to be closed for a portion of the summer. So they're trying to get the blue line up and running and ready ahead of that.
And I understand at this meeting, some riders expressed their frustration with the T.
Oh, yeah. So Ng's very first board meeting, he got to witness the board's public lashing that they got from a couple of riders who are really just frustrated and upset and just kind of done being told to be patient with the T. I have a comment, actually, from this one fellow during the public comment period. He did not give his name, but he was really upset.
I'm a tech at NGB, and I'm getting threatened to lose my job. I can't get to work on time because you people can't do your job. What is wrong with y'all? Ashamed. You need to all be ashamed of yourself and step down. I don't know what you. None of you people need to be in this position. You're horrible.
That was one of the nicer ones.
Yeah.
You know, they should have had, like, a bleep machine on standby because people were really upset and not holding back. The comments were directed at the board, like, telling them that they're ashamed, telling them they need to step down. Mm-hmm. One person called the service that she was experiencing disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people were really upset.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's good for the board to hear that, you know, because that way it's harder to just think of riders as, you know, numbers on a paper. You know, these are people with experiences who have to get to work, who need to get to school, need to pick people up, and they're relying on your service.
I do want to say that, like, since that meeting, the Healy administration did replace 3 board members. Healy's not messing around. She has her new MBTA general manager. She got her board members on there, so who knows? This might really be a new chapter for the T. It'll be interesting to see what happens from here.
Well, Andrea, I'm very much looking forward to the work you're going to do. And of course, please, please, please come on back to the Commons so we can talk all about it.
Of course. Thanks, Daryl.
That's WBUR transportation reporter Andrea Perdomo Hernandez. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on this episode, please hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.